Good morning.
First
John chapter 4, verse 18 says, "There is no fear in unconditional love, but perfect love, unconditional love, casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in unconditional love." Unconditional love comes from our regenerate new self nature. Fear is a product of our old self nature. And there is no place for fear or for cowardice in God's service. Fear is torment in the soul. Fear is the sin that cuts off your thinking. Fear has a valuable function, however, if we let it. It can drive us right into God's arms, because when you are afraid, you can easily admit, "I can't do this." And you can say to God, "Do it for me." And He willingly complies. He will happily intervene at any time on our behalf. The Word of God refers to Bible study as a time of renewing, a great time to let God change your mind. God the Holy Spirit fills your deficiencies of thought with the truths of the Word of God, and He unveils to you the plan of God the Father for your life. John chapter 15, verse 11 says, "These things I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, my happiness may be in you, and that your joy may be full." If God's happiness is in you, it crowds out fear. And so the Lord's joy keeps filling our deficiencies, the deficiencies in our joy, regardless of what circumstances might be our present reality. The Lord has made perfect provision for our happiness, and He does not care about your past. We simply choose to let His happiness pervade our lives. Welcome to a place where you can, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to deliver your souls. As God prepares you for renewing of your mind, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song. And as you think about the Lord, may those thoughts bring you joy. The opening song is, "You Don't Have to Beg." Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us to understand the difference unconditional love makes. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Rory Clark. I have the gift of pastor-teacher, and it was given to me for your benefit, for the purpose of equipping you believers in Christ for the work of service. Welcome to a ministry designed for people who want a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and who want that relationship and that faith that they have in Christ to show up on the outside world to make a difference. Today's study, Unconditional Love Separates. Unconditional Love Separates. First, a few announcements. The first is this. Next Lord's Supper celebration, May 12, 2013, also the Mother's Day celebration. That's probably why I was thinking about Mama. Mama. No, I'm not going to sing to you. The homecoming for the soon-to-be resident congregation, June 15th and 16th. The weekend is being coordinated by Deacon Caleb Alburn and Mandy Alburn. Registration is on the website, so please register if you're coming so we can know how many people to plan for. We got 31 and 2 so far. And by the way, you resident congregation members might want to register as well. I don't know whether that's happening. Is that happening? Yeah, so this 31 and 2 is just the people on the outside. So I'd like you folks on the inside to please register as well. Yeah, there's these things called computers, and you can get on them, and then you can sign right into the website and then register. But we this week we set a tentative schedule, and I'll show you that in a week or so. But just want to remind you that Pastor John Farley will be joining us for the event on Saturday. The lessons will be in the morning both days, so we will not have an evening lesson on Saturday. We aren't going to be serving alcohol at any event that we're doing because we don't want to encourage you to do something like driving off a cliff. Are there cliffs in Arizona that you can drive off of? Yeah, well, if there were, we wouldn't want to encourage you to drive off a cliff. So it'll be a BYOB, and we'll be watching you celebration. I think it's much better if celebrations happen without alcohol, to tell you the absolute truth, because it, you know, you're really trying to get to know some people here, and you're not trying to, you know, create the situation where you're letting them get to know you in your inebriated state. There's nothing really redeeming about that, just so you know. But we'll finish by noon on Sunday. We're looking forward to having a gathering of all the soon-to-be resident congregation members especially, and we hope you make time for it. Now, let me say something about that. So my tour of duty, personally, in non-resident situation spanned at least 22 years. And no one, I don't ever remember anyone saying, the conferences are really for the non-resident congregation. I don't ever remember anyone saying that. So it never dawned on me to actually make time 4 times a year to go and see my pastor being teaching face-to-face, nor to go and put myself in a position where I understood that I was part of a larger gathering. That's what this is for. And so those of you in the soon-to-be resident congregation who are thinking, well, I can't afford it, or then you don't have faith in God, all right? Because God can make you afford it. He can get it done for you, first of all. Second of all, you need to come and see this. It makes a difference to know that the people that are here, that you're laughing about, that we're laughing about every day, you need to see them face to face and see why it is exactly that I pick on them. You will understand totally when you come and see them face to face. Right, Raphael? They'll understand, right? So please come here. You know, we've got people from the soon-to-be resident congregation coming here all the time. Kathy Gildea is here. Heather Lettermoser is here today. They're coming in all the time and visiting and saying, I'm part of this. And you are. And it makes a difference that you're here. So let's continue to do that. So I'm telling you officially, as people who are not resident, that it's really important that you get together with the resident congregation because you are no less members of us. We think about you all the time. We talk about you. And we want you to know that you're important here. This is an event that will give us an opportunity to demonstrate how important you are to us. That's why we're doing this and no other reason. Next, our Coeur d'Alene Bible Conference is August 9th. Looking forward to that. Here are the Noel Bible study dates that will be in effect for the rest of the year. They are June 30, August 25th, September 1st, December 8th, December 29th. Please make sure these dates are on your calendar. Are these dates on our website? Okay. Next, mark your calendars. Change of location, May 5th, next week. We'll be at the Hilton in Chandler at 2929 West Fry, Chandler, Arizona, 85224. The number is 480-899-7400, so please don't come here because we won't be here. Jerry, you feeling me? The poor guy, what?
He'll never
get to
live that one down.
No, it's not that. We have a thing. See, Jerry calls me on a regular basis. He says, Pastor, we having lessons? I say, yeah. So I'm trying to save the brother a phone call. That's all. He ain't got nothing to live down. He's my man. Amen? So, yeah. So I was just trying to save him a phone call. He'll call me anyway, right? 7:30 next weekend. Say, are we having service? Jerry, yes, we are. We're having it at the Hilton. Don't go over to the Hyatt. And he'll say, that's right, it'll be earlier. And he'll say, okay, well, thank you, Pastor. And I say, well, thank you, Jerry, and we'll see each other here. It's awesome. So that's all. All right, what else we got? Thank you to Deacons Caleb, Elliot, and Denny for the excellent lessons last week.
Yay.
They were really good. And there are going to be more. Those dates that we just mentioned are chances for them to do that again. And I feel like they're getting better and better and better. I was particularly tired during the recording of these, so two of the deacons, I fell asleep on their lessons, and there were two things about that. So first of all, they thought, you know, that their lessons were boring, which they weren't, but I was really happy to fall asleep on them like they have fallen asleep on me so many times. But the other thing is, I was just exhausted. So it's exhausting doing this work, and especially in the evening. So I thank you, men, for showing up and for giving all that you have and giving a fantastic perspective on how the Word of God from this pulpit is hitting your soul and letting people see that. It's an amazing thing. So thank you very much. I appreciate it tremendously. The ladies fundraise. Thanks to the ladies for the fundraiser of the month, and congratulations. I understand the ladies played charades and the sinners team stole the show. That was Mandy, Emily, Maureen, Rachel, and Jamie. The other team was called the OMG team. Their names are not written here for me to publish, just so you know, which is really mean and cold on Jamie's part, I think. And but there is a note that the other team almost made a miraculous comeback, so that's fantastic. Now, for those of you who weren't here in the first lesson, I said this about the ladies' fundraisers. I said we really appreciate them, and please do not let that now become an opportunity for you to profane your own sanctuary by getting casual with each other, getting catty with each other, and not bonding. Now, that's a very serious thing, and I've seen a lot of churches where these kind of things start happening, and then the women turn on each other, and they're gone. And then this becomes a lousy place to go, and I have definitely noticed there's a lot of gossiping and cattiness that goes on in this congregation that is initiated by the women. And don't think I don't notice it. I do notice it, and I don't want to police it. I want you to police it. And I'm willing to let there be the consequences of those actions, and you know exactly what the consequences are. You will eat each other, you will make it uncomfortable for people to come here, and they will leave, and they won't come back, they won't have a place to worship. And that's on you, because it's not going to affect me. I'm going to keep teaching. So don't let this thing that you have created that is absolutely fun become this terrible thing, because I know women can bond, because I have coached women's basketball teams. You can bond if you choose to, or you can be catty if you choose to. And it's stuff as subtle as this, where one woman makes a request of another woman, and the other woman thinks that she doesn't have to follow the damn request. If a woman in this congregation makes a request of you, do it. Period. There's no discussion about it. Do it. We are here for each other. If you ask me something, I'm doing it. Don't give it a second thought. Amen? Now, I don't want to be your policeman, but I'm telling you, this is a sanctuary, and it is not to be profaned. This is a serious place where we're for each other. Don't let this show up like the rest of the world. And women who come from the soon-to-be resident congregation have expressed the lack of friendliness of the women in this congregation. You need to know that. They are human beings, and they feel. And they pick up on the crap. They got an antenna, too. I just want to tell you that. Is y'all feeling me? Barah Ministries on Pal Talk. Starting Monday. What's Pal Talk? Awesome. Yeah, what is Pal Talk? So, yeah, Barah Ministries is on PayPal as well, Ben. Get out your credit card. All right, so here it is. So beginning Monday, April 29th, Barah Ministries will be on Pal Talk, courtesy of Deacon Larry and Pat Collins, who are now very welcome members of Barah Ministries. I agree. So from Monday to Friday every week, there will be a lesson on Pal Talk at 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Daylight Time, 7 p.m. Central Daylight Time, and 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. On Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, there will be a replay of our Sunday lessons. On Thursday and Friday, there will be replays of previous important lessons. The Monday broadcast begins with a 20-minute prayer meeting and then proceeds into the lesson. Tuning into these lessons is an easy thing to do. Here is the process. So the first step is to go to www.paltalk.com. The second step is to download the software, which is the click of a button. Jenny, it's the click of a button. Right there on that website. Just click that thing right there.
What was that?
It's just a click. Third is to choose a nickname. That'll be very difficult for most of you. And then you sign into the Royal Family Room. And that's where the broadcast will take place, in a room called the Royal Family Room. Now, if you have trouble signing up, so try to do this as quickly as you can. Get a sign up for it. Even if you're not going to do it regularly, just get a sign up for it just so you can get the experience of doing it. If you have difficulty finding the Royal Family Room, just let us know and we'll send you an invitation to your email address. And then you can be invited, and then all you have to do is click to get into the room. So if you have any questions about it, pastor@barahministries.com. This is a very welcome bit of progress for this ministry, and I want to say thanks to Deacon Larry Collins and Pat Collins for coordinating it. So next, let's take the offering. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
Good morning. I'm Deacon Denny Goodall. The truth in the Bible is a gift from the grace of God, and our goal is to reflect this gift. Barah Ministries is a grace ministry and functions entirely on generous donations. Our website allows anyone, anywhere, to receive the Word of God. Believers are free to express their appreciation for this grace gift by giving of their time, talent, and treasure. Lately, it seems like we've heard a lot of the story about the prodigal son a lot. A seemingly wealthy father, in response to his demands, gives the younger of his two sons his inheritance before he dies, before the father dies. The younger son, after wasting his fortune, goes hungry during a famine. He then repents and returns home, where the father holds a feast to celebrate the return. The older son refuses to participate, stating that in all the time the son has worked for the father, he never once gave him a goat to celebrate with his friends. His father reminds the older son that everything the father has is the older son's, but that they should still celebrate the return of the younger son as he came back to them. This particular parable has many points to bring out concerning the nature of man and God, but I want to focus on the older son, the one who represents the legalistic trend of Christians. I'm hung up on one verse, really just one word in that verse. Luke 15:29 is the older son's response to the father's plea to join the party for his brother. But he answered and said to his father, "Look, for so many years I have been serving you and have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat so that I may celebrate with my friends." So that he says he's never neglected a command of his father? Never? Is there really a child who obeyed every command of their parents? The older son is neglecting the very command to join the party. So I'm sure he disobeyed some of the father's commands. He thinks just because he stayed with the father that he's somehow better than the younger brother. Somehow, since we show up to church each week and study each day, every day, we're better than other Christians. We hear truth, but do we obey it and love others and really live it? Do we give all we can to this ministry? So am I saying this to condemn you or make you feel bad? Maybe a little bit. But really, my purpose is just like Paul's in 1 Thessalonians 1:3. I want to encourage and reassure the royal family. He, as I am, are constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. We have all done so much, but we can do more. We should be proud of our church and proud of our decisions to believe. Let's show the world. Don't reluctantly obey your pastor. Obey because you want to and because you know the full power of God surrounds your life. So remember, you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. So I'll end in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for loving us no matter what we do. Thank you for giving to us even when we separate ourselves from you. I pray that you may help us to love our enemies and, more importantly, ourselves. I pray that you give us the strength to live the Zoe life out loud. I pray that we never take our position or our power for granted. I pray this through the power of the Holy Spirit and in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back. So thank you, Deacon Denny, for taking the offering. And I wanted to point out something. You mentioned how the father gave the inheritance to the prodigal son. He also gave the inheritance to the older son, too. Right? So he split the inheritance between the two boys. And your observation about, I never disobeyed a commandment, when he was clearly doing it at that moment, is right on, and the whole point of that particular verse. And I think we always find it easy to point at other people. One of the teenage Cretans in the congregation always says, don't point fingers, Pastor Rory, because when you point one at you, three are pointing back. You point one at others, three are pointing back at you. I don't like her very much, but it's a great point. I do like her. Today's study, unconditional love separates. Unconditional love separates. It's easy to see upon surface inspection of it that there are similarities between Christianity and religion. Similarities between Christianity and legalism. Yet it is not the similarities that we must inspect. We must inspect the differences. In a comparison between Roman Catholicism and Christianity, it's easy to say that both disciplines believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Since this similarity exists, it would be easy on the surface to conclude that Christianity and Roman Catholicism are the same. Yet a deeper inspection would reveal that Roman Catholics do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ of biblical Christianity. The Lord Jesus Christ of biblical Christianity said on the cross in John chapter 19, verse 30, this. And you've heard it a million times. And a million times isn't enough times to hear it. Here's what he said. In the Greek, he said, tetelestai. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. Salvation is finished in the past, and the result is it stands finished forever. And he bowed his head and gave up his human spirit into the presence of God the Father. So the Lord Jesus Christ's work on the cross finished the work of salvation. And that finished work of salvation is called redemption. He purchased us from the slavery of spiritual death by his blood at the cross once and for all time. One sacrifice, completely finished. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says this, the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us, purchased us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, the tree being the cross. Roman Catholicism does not believe that Christ's work on the cross finished salvation and the work of redemption. Let me repeat that. Roman Catholicism does not believe that Christ's work on the cross finished salvation and the work of redemption. Now, individual Catholics may believe that the redemption did occur, but their discipline does not believe that. That is not a tenet of Roman Catholicism. Therefore, the Christ of Roman Catholicism needs help to finish redemption. Here's what the Catechism of the Catholic Church, verse 1405, says. There is no surer pledge or dearer sign of the great hope in the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells than the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper. And every time this mystery is celebrated, the work of our redemption is carried on. True or false? It's false. Redemption is finished. Tetelestai, finished. Finished. So the work of our redemption is carried on, and we break the one bread that provides the medicine of immortality, the antidote for death, and the food that makes us live forever in Jesus Christ. What they're saying is that the body of Christ, the bread, which is the body of Christ, and the wine, the blood of Christ, is what is medicine of immortality. It is an antidote for death, and it is the food that makes us live forever in Christ. They think it's the bread and wine. Well, if you think it's the bread and wine, then why is there purgatory? Why do you have to go get an additional cleansing if this is the medicine of immortality? Once I take this, I should be fine, right? And why do I have to keep taking it over and over again? You see, so Roman Catholicism and Christianity are nothing alike. Not at all. Nothing alike. So the same is true in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, also known as the Mormons or LDS. They allege to believe in Christ, but they do not believe he is God, and they do not believe that he is co-equal, co-infinite, and co-eternal. They do not believe that he is the same in essence as God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something about the Mormons. If you tell them what I just told you, you will not have any trouble getting them to admit that. They absolutely do not believe that Jesus Christ is God. They absolutely do not believe that the Father and the Son have the same essence, and they are not shy about saying it. There is no equivocation when you make those claims. And I've talked to bishops in the Mormon Church, and it is, boom, it is instant. Yes, we do not believe that. Yet we are still Christians. Okay, great. So they believe that there are three separate beings, not one God in three separate and distinct persons. Therefore, it is not the similarities that we inspect. It is the differences. Because when we compare Christianity and religion, or Christianity and legalism, we have to inspect the differences. Why? Because differences separate. Differences separate. Unconditional love separates. You see, the religious do not have unconditional love for anybody. Everything in religion is quite conditional. If you sin, then you're bad. That is not Christianity. And I want you to get it into your mind, emblazoned into your brain, in this study of unconditional love, that unconditional love is one of the things that makes Christianity and religion absolutely opposite. It is one of the things that make Christianity and legalism absolutely opposite. We are not anything like that. And therefore, if we act like that, we are not accurately reflecting the person that we serve. You ever seen a kid like that? Have you ever seen a kid who does not reflect the parent? Have you ever seen a kid who does not reflect the parent? Not reflect the parent's training? Okay. That's not who we're trying to be. We're not trying to be common. We're not trying to be like everybody else. We're not trying to blend in to Satan's kingdom. When people look at us, when they hear us, when they see us act, they should see something that is so remotely, so radically different that they're drawn to it and they wonder, what is it about you? Take a 5-minute break. Welcome back. Hey, Dorothy, you were kind of late getting in here for this lesson, I noticed. Yeah, so I want to encourage you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 when you get home. It says, bad company corrupts good morals. Dorothy, you're never late for anything, and so I know that that's because you were hanging out with bad company. Is that right?
Well, third time in the morning, you're reversed.
So I'm looking out for you, Dorothy. I just wanted you to know that. All right. Welcome back. Unconditional love separates. While Christians, believers in Christ, may be similar to unbelievers in a lot of ways, often even undistinguishable from an unbeliever in conduct, there are foundational and invisible differences that separate. And one of those is the ability to express unconditional love. Unbelievers cannot do that. Now, to be sure, Gandhi, Buddha, Muhammad, and Martin Luther King, to name a few, may indeed have been good men, similar in many ways to Jesus Christ and his true humanity. Yet I think it is safe to say that there were big differences. None of these men died on a cross to pay for sins, as it says in 1 Peter 2:24. None of these men rose from the dead, as it says in Matthew 28:6. John 11:25, 1 Corinthians 15:20. None of these men were born without a sin nature, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. And none of these men lived sinless lives, Hebrews 4:15. Unconditional love separates. You see, there is a big difference between Christians and non-Christians. There is a 180-degree difference, and that has to show up in deeds. Otherwise, we look just like them. Conditional love is, I love you if. That's the philosophy of unbelievers. I love you if. I love you if you are good. And good means if you're doing exactly what I think you ought to do in my self-righteousness. And I don't love you if you are bad. That means you're not doing what I think you ought to do in your self-righteousness. What a great parenting philosophy. Unconditional love is an I love you no matter what philosophy. I love you if you are good. I love you if you are bad. I love you if you are heinous. I love you if you are despicable. A lot of Christians mouth the words. We say, oh, I don't care. You know, if my kid is a garbage collector, I just want him to be the best garbage collector. Yeah, that's what we say. And nobody in their right mind wants a kid, no kid of theirs picking up trash. Too many flies. Amen? Amen. Don't lie. Don't lie. Say amen.
Amen.
It's not why we raise kids. We don't raise kids to be no damn trash collector. I used to say that. I don't want my kids to be no trash collector. Well, when we as Christians, yeah, everybody up here is saying, why? They make $35 an hour and they got a union. They have a benefit package. Okay, great. That's great. Well, when we as Christians fail at living this unconditional love, we are missing the most important lesson in biblical Christianity, which is that unconditional love separates. You know, Deacon Caleb was just nailed it in his lesson. The whole lesson nailed it. But it was the idea. It nailed it so much I had to get up and say something. That lesson was so good. I had to get up and say something. I couldn't just hold it back. But, you know, if we're married and the other person cheats on us and we don't forgive them, we're just like unbelievers. If we use that as our out, we're just like unbelievers. Then what's special about Christianity then? And don't get me wrong. Don't think I don't know it hurts. It hurts. It hurts badly. And it's a long recovery. If ever. So don't get me wrong. But if Christianity isn't good enough to stand the test of those types of things, Why bother doing it? Why would you want to be involved in something that's not adequate? I say Christianity is adequate, and I say we don't give it enough time to find out that it's adequate. And it takes time to find out that it's adequate. It doesn't happen. It's not Dunkin' Donuts drive-through. 30 seconds and you find out the adequacy of the Christian way of life. It can take 10 years. Your marriage can suck for 10 years before it makes a turn. Why? Because that's how our God works. And the question is, can you have faith through it? Other things that we want to turn can take forever, what seems like forever for us. I'm impatient. No, you're not unconditional. It's different. That's not impatience. That's a lack of unconditional. And it's so funny because you can be unconditional in one area and not in the other, and the other one will always be the one that's right in your heart, the one that pounds you right in your heart. And then that's the one. That's the one God is using to shape you into a magnificent and perfect creature. This perfecting us that our God is doing is not a joke. He's really doing it. Yet we miss it. That is, it is these things that strike at the heart that are the things he's using to do it. It's not the easy things. It's not the softballs he lobs up for you. It's these really hard things that you don't want to tackle, that you get afraid of, that you become cowards in, that you have to walk into the fire on. Well, my question for you is this: what kind of love does your parenting reflect, conditional or unconditional? Unconditional love separates when we are parenting. Christian parents who incorporate unconditional love into raising children are reflecting the love of their divine parent. And that's the thing we just got to get. God gives us so much time. Christian, think about what God was thinking. All right, I got this guy, Rory. And, all right, I'm omniscient. I know all the knowable. He's a man after my own heart who wants to do all my will. But he ain't. And now it's 50 years into his Christianity, and he's just getting through with legalism. After 21 years stint in religion and a 29 years stint in legalism. And he's just getting around to finding out what the Christian way of life is, and now he's sitting on his floor with his thumb in his mouth going, now that I can't use all the commentaries and the books in my library, what am I supposed to do now? And then you hear that. This. Try that. But it's said with no malice. Thank you, Nora. Our septuagenarian's going to bring his pastor. Bring your pastor his book. I don't blame you. It's got tabs. Yeah, but that's mine. Come here. Give me that. Thank you. You know. You think he's fretting because I took 50 years to come around? He's not fretting about it. How about you? I'm impatient. It could take 50 years. Is it worth the wait? I think it is. Christian parents who incorporate unconditional love into raising children are reflecting who incorporate conditional love into their parenting are reflecting the actions of unbelievers. In other words, they're not living the difference that separates. Our divine parent has a parenting plan. Here's his parenting vision. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow about his promises, some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not willing for any to perish in the lake of fire, but for all to come to repentance, a change of mind about Christ. Here's his parenting objective. What is an objective? An objective is specific, it's measurable, It's bound in time. What is his parenting objective? His parenting objective in the matter of salvation is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You actively believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he passively will save you. He will do the salvation. You do the believing, he'll do the salvation. That salvation will be acted upon you. You and everyone in your household who also believes. The parenting strategy in the salvation matter. Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to Satan's world system, but keep on being transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. How about the parenting objective in the Christian way of living? Grow in the sphere of grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. How about the parenting strategy in the Christian way of life? Ephesians 4:22 and 24. In reference to your former manner of life, lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then pick up and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. Our God has a vision. Our God has an objective. Our God has a strategy for salvation. He has an objective and a strategy for the Christian way of living. Our divine parent, our God, has a parenting plan for our lives, and it has a vision of our future, an objective for each of the phases of our lives, a strategy for each phase, and tactics for each phase of his plan. Our God is patient. What are the tactics? What are tactics? Tactics are the detailed actions that support an objective and a strategy. They are the milestones of progress that are part of a plan. In God's plan for us as Christians, there is a milestone that allows us to experience religiosity. There is a milestone that allows us to experience legalism. There is a milestone that allows us to experience lasciviousness. There is a milestone that allows us to go through a period of antinomian attitude. There are no rules. Not that the Lord would have us do any of these things, nor that he actually wants us to experience these things, because he doesn't, but that he knows we will, and he allows them for our instruction. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1, verse 13. James chapter 1, verse 13. James chapter 1, verse 13. Is Alani is Ben moving fast enough for you on the page turn over there? Oh, you got a little electronic. I'm feeling you, dog. Go ahead. You don't need no speed. He's got buttons. James chapter 1, verse 13 says this: let no one say when he is tempted that I'm being tempted by God. For God can't be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. James 1, 14. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. The temptation comes from the old self, and the volition agrees with the temptation. James 1:15. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. The product of the doer, the old self, is the deed called sin. Gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. For the unbeliever, spiritual death. For the believer in Christ, cosmic death. The things that we do when we sin do not work out. James 1:16. So don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. Said another way, God is not interested in us doing things that hurt ourselves, but he is willing to allow us to learn through our mistakes. Do you have this attitude with your children? Do you allow your children to learn through their mistakes, or do you think that they should be following what you think they should do? Are you expecting them to live up to some lame human expectation that you're imposing on them, thinking that when they do this lame thing that you're imposing, that they will be right in your eyes? Because I guarantee you, you won't let them be right in your eyes. You will move the stick. That is conditional love at its finest. indistinguishable from the approach of unbeliever parents. So what are some of the tactics that you can employ in your parenting plan as it develops? Here's one. Win your children's hearts. Win your children's hearts. Many parents are simply tyrants. They assume that because they are parents with a position that they are owed respect. Your kids owe you nothing. Therefore, they don't think they have the responsibility as parents and as leaders to win the hearts of their children. Your kids owe you nothing. They did not ask to be born. They did not ask for one thing that you gave them. You did it because you wanted to. And so whenever you bring out that guilt trip, I gave you life. I worked my butt off for you. You did that because you wanted to. That's a guilt trip. That is not unconditional love. It's conditional. They are not trained dolphins. You don't get to flip them fish and they perform. I don't care if it's a seal, it's a dolphin. I don't care. It's them animals. I don't care if it's a whale. I ain't been to SeaWorld. You know, we ain't all like you going to SeaWorld every other week, you know, doing species checks. Is that a seal? The seal makes that noise? Oh, man. I'm brokenhearted. I thought I knew my mammals. So, honestly, we have to win the hearts of our children. It's absurd in any realm to think that just because you show up and you have a position, that everybody's supposed to bow down to you. So it just so happens that I played basketball for the coach that created the triple post offense, Tex Winter, who was involved in 11 NBA championships. So let me just tell you a funny story that came from him during the time when Phil Jackson took over as the head of the Los Angeles Lakers. And legend has it that Phil walked into the room with Shaq and Kobe and the other Lakers who were there at the time and just started laying down jewelry. So the first two rings were from his time as a player with the New York Knicks, two championships. Then he laid down the ring for his championship with the CBA. Then he laid down six championship rings from his tour with the Chicago Bulls. Nine championship rings. And he said, I'm very happy to be here with you guys at the Lakers, and I hope to be adding more jewelry at the end of this long line of jewelry that I already have because I'm so amazing. And you know what Shaq said? So what have you done for the Lakers? Really? He's like, wait a minute, that was a pretty good Shaq? I think so. You just have to put in your head to be mentally slow and have 3% body fat. Okay, I flunked that part. But you see the point? Phil Jackson did not expect that the Lakers were supposed to bow down to him because he had 9 championship rings. And in fact, they didn't. He was bringing one of the toughest offenses to learn in the history of basketball, and certainly the most thorough. They didn't bow down to him. He had to win their hearts. And he had credentials. What are your credentials as a parent? What have you done that's so special that your kid ought to bow down to you? What have you done to win your child's heart? Show up, it's not good enough. That would be absurd in sports, that you would think your past credentials would mean something to the team that you had just taken over. A coach cannot come into a situation and demand respect, even if he is accomplished. Similarly, it is absurd in the Christian way of life. The Lord doesn't assume that just because he created us that we owe him our loyalty and respect. Look at the unbeliever. He is created by God, yet he rejects a relationship with God. And that is his prerogative. And God considers it his job to win the unbeliever over, and he does it with unconditional love. He did it by wiping out the unbeliever's sins at the cross, even though the unbeliever was rejecting him. Here's the truth. If your children don't perceive your love as unconditional, ultimately, conditional love drives them away. You don't have a great relationship with your kids? The first place you need to check is love. And I'll bet you money that if your kids don't like you or they're rejecting you, your love for them is conditional. Bet you money. And they know it. I'll bet you money that you have not won their hearts. So my question for you is this. What are you doing as parents to win the hearts of your children? Moms, that's especially true of you. Because you guys think all this sentimental crap works. It doesn't. You got to win their hearts. Now, what do I mean by that? In my own parenting, you know what my fathering style was? Laura, this is what you need to do with the kids. I'm going to go out and slay an animal, and I'll be back with the animal. I'm going on the road. Do this with the kids. And then when the report cards came in and it was B, C, B, Laura, what's wrong with you? Your leadership is suspect. Obviously, your leadership is not effective. Change your leadership. Blah, blah, blah. You know what Laura heard? Charlie Brown's teacher. Womp, 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 womp. And that's exactly what she should have heard. Because I hadn't won her heart and I hadn't won the kid's heart. Amen? Because you don't, I'm providing. How many dads are doing that? They're out providing. They don't spend 5 minutes with their kids. They're out providing, and then when they come home, what do? Get on the couch and use the remote control. Don't have a single interaction with their kids. Don't give a jack what their kids are doing. And then when the kid does something that's stupid, which kids will inevitably do, what's wrong with you? Well, what's wrong with me is you never interact with me and you don't care about me, so I had to get your attention somehow. That's what's wrong with me. Any other questions? Because you don't have my heart. So you know what I did? I took 3 months off and I wrote a 35-page booklet designed to teach my kids every single thing they would need to know to be men. Time management, ironing, cooking, cleaning, you name it, reading, studying, writing, you name it. 4-hour program every day, 1 hour Bible study, 1 hour talking about it, 2 hours demonstrating something that I wanted them to know. The next semester, both of them, all A's for the first time. Shock. Oh, my God, how did that happen? It happened because I was involved. That's how it happened. And I learned a really valuable lesson. You have to win your kids' hearts. And that 90 days has paid off huge. Because both of my sons and I have had our ups and downs, but we also have a relationship. If I die today and they stand up at my funeral and eulogize, they're not going to say, you know, I really question it whether my father loved me. Now, that doesn't make me special, but I'm not trying to hold myself up as the standard for parenting because I don't think I am. I actually sucked at parenting for a really, really long time. But my point is this. Unconditional love works. A parenting plan works. And whatever a cheap second is, doesn't. And as Christians, we are to stand up and do those things which make Christianity look just like it is, 180-degree apposition to whatever unbelievers are doing. It's y'all feeling me. Amen? Amen. All right, June, come on up. Count it all joy. You make your parenting plan, make sure it is chock full of unconditional love.
Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy, the testing of your faith is worthwhile. It can produce in you patience when you're child. When you fall into various trials, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Afflictions are momentary and light. Count it all. When the attitude is right, you know that heartaches and troubles will one day be out of sight. Afflictions are momentary light. You should count it all joy. With diligence you can add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Count it all joy. Afflictions are momentary. For the good when the attitude is right, compared to the eternal weight of glory, nothing measures up in this life. So press on toward the goal that's inside and count it all.
Heaven are jealous right this minute.
Singing it beautifully.
I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for your unconditional love toward us. And thank you for allowing us to get on your shoulders and to peek out through your head and out your eyes so that we can see the world with unconditional love. And we can see a completely different view of life, the view that you have. And I pray that the people who are at the other end of this message hear these messages from today clearly and without condemnation as a call to a standard, the standard that you expect from us, a standard of living the greatest of the virtues. The greatest of these is unconditional love. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that change us. Messages that are an accurate reflection of your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence, so that we can be an accurate reflection of your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.